you want to open your Bibles, we're in Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. If you have need of a Bible, we can hand one to you. You just got to simply raise your hand. So we're in Mark chapter 14. While you're making your way there, I just took notice. I mean, the two of the songs we sang this morning was "You Are Good" and "Great Is Our Lord." And I hope you noticed that, because I want you to think for a minute, is God good in your life? Is the Lord great in your life? I mean, that's the focus that we need to have. And actually, in today's study, it's going to be about focusing on God and all about Him. And so I just want us to have that in our minds and to be thinking about that. Also, as in a way of prayer request, there was a 5.9, what do they call it? Magnitude earthquake in Haiti today. Suzelle actually had to get out of her house, which I think the whole country did that after what they experienced in 2010. But she's okay, her property's fine, everything, but we just want to keep them in prayer, and that country. Hopefully there's no other damage, but we haven't heard anything else, but we just wanted to keep you up to date on that. And with that, I'm going to ask Laylene to come forward. She went on the missions trip with us, but sneakily decided her return trip would be Sunday afternoon, so she didn't have to share last Sunday. So this morning I asked her if she would like to share. Will that be good? Yeah, that's pretty good. So this is Gerline, Laylene. This is Suzelle's sister. She was on the trip. She was actually my watchdog. She kept an eye on me the entire trip, so I was thankful that she was on it. But I wanted to give her just about five minutes to share what God did in her life on this trip. Thank you, Laylene.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So obviously, I had nothing prepared because I didn't bring anything because I didn't know I was going to do this. But I got here this morning and four people got on my case and thought that I stayed home just a little bit because I didn't want to share. So when Pastor Rob asked me this morning to share, I asked him if he was sure about this. He said yes. So with that said, whatever happened in the next 5 minutes, you talk to your pastor. So, Haiti is my country. That's where I was born and raised. But this trip was my first one with the church. And before I give you a little what how this trip touched me, I just want to start with a little story. I was speaking with somebody maybe a few months ago about Lakaiti Moon, and I told him that if he ever want to serve or wants to come to the mission trip, because he's been helping in the background by giving up stuff, but he never go there. And I told him, just let me know, then if you ever want to come, you can come with us. Then somebody else who overheard the conversation, who was not asked for her opinion, got into the conversation and said, "No, thank you. I would rather stay in the United States where I feel safe." So you're going to learn something about me today, church. You know how sometime in the movies, and then they show you when an actor have like a vision of killing somebody, but they didn't actually do it. It was just a vision. So that's what happened to me at that moment. Because I wanted to take her and shake her. And it's not because it's Haiti. It would have been any country. To explain to her that going to Haiti does not necessarily mean you're not going to be safe, because anything can happen at any time. So I have an anger problem. Pray for me. So, and I share this is just to say how much I appreciated everyone that went to that trip, because they didn't think about their own safety. Well, at least they didn't put it first. They didn't think about how, for some of you who went for the first time, they didn't think about how rough it is over there. But they put God first and just went, and whatever happened, it's in God's hands. So I just wanted to say that to let you all know, all nine people that went with us, that I love you. Please keep that in mind for the last thing that I'm going to share. I love all 10 people, including my pastors, And I appreciate it very much because I live there and I know how it is. And it can get unsafe. So thank you for going to my home country and share your experience and knowledge and the Word of God. I have more. So, since I only have 5 minutes, I guess I should step into. Am I talking or are y'all talking? So, from this trip, what stood out for me is basically prayers. And when I say prayers, what I meant, it's in two ways. Like I said, this is my first trip with anywhere, actually. And find out that during that trip, I mean, the team prays so much. I don't think I've ever been in a group that prays so much for everything. They just leave everything into God's hands. And I very much love being a part of this and learn myself that sometimes, you know, with life, you forget, you just don't put prayer first, but just keep worrying about things like I'm worried about going to work tomorrow. But it's just prayers to get through. And that's how we get through a lot of things there. And I met prayers in a second way. It's because one of the girls who goes to the school, she is, some of you might have heard of that before. She's one of the little girls that has a seizure problem. And when I was there, I've already talked to Suzelle because I wanted to do an activity with some of the kids, and she was one of them. She signed up for it. And as I was waiting for her, she never showed. And it's only to learn after that it's a Saturday, and home, Saturday is laundry day. So she went to the river to do laundry, and she passed out and couldn't come. So I learned that afterwards. So of course, the team prayed for her while she was there. And then 2 days after, she came. But why I brought her up is because that was one of the things that did it for me at the trip. Was one morning, as we were ready for devotion with the kids and the staff, and that little girl was the one who was praying that morning. And she got up and got in the middle of the circle where everybody was watching her and prayed. And I was translating for the foreigners, so I know exactly what she said. And she was praying, she prayed about, she thanked God for being healthy. We're talking about a little girl that's been having health issues over and over. And she prayed for the missionaries that comes to help every time, and prayed for all the kids at the school. So I know Pastor Ward said several times here that a child prayer is the best prayer ever. I got to experience that live, and it really is. So that was another highlight of my trip there. And to finish, I guess, Lou, I got to learn a little more about your husband and Pastor RJ. So I told him, and some people here, some of you knows that the man's been to two surgeries. So I said, I can go through a third surgery, so I'm going to make sure that this man doesn't do anything that he shouldn't do on this mission trip. Yeah. So the man wouldn't listen to a word I say. I had to be on, like, literally be everywhere he is to make sure he's not lifting something too heavy for him. And by the way, you're welcome, Lou. He's not lifting something too heavy. And let me tell you, I kept messing with him, and I got hit in the head with a bottle of water. Do not mess with PR. You won't even see it coming. I did not see that water bottle coming. And I also learned a little bit about Pastor RJ in a way that I don't think I really needed to, but I did. But, you know, I still love my pastors. So, Pastor RJ is a farting machine. You just give him a bad look and throw a walk at him and just move on, basically. There's nothing else you can do about that. It doesn't stop. And then you keep blaming the food. Stop blaming local food for your issue. So, church, I could stand here and tell you everything about this trip, about what God did over there, but it's just a total different experience when you are there and get to experience it and live it. So with that said, I guess it's time to give the puppet back to Pastor Rob. I'm just going to need somebody to help me back to my seat, because since that hit in the head, my vision is blurred. I can't see.
You're fine. I did not purposely throw a bottle of water at her. Her and Absara were like, could you get me a bottle of water? I got a bottle. And as soon as it left my hand, she looked down. I was like, you know how it's like, words don't come out, and just knocked her right in the head. I said, of all people, it had to hit her in the head. Oh, gosh. Well, you left me no time, so thanks. Mark chapter 14. We'll be picking up in verse 10. We're going to back up a little bit. It's been a couple weeks since we've been in Mark, so I want to back up just a little bit and look at verses 10 and 11, and we'll see how far we can get before we take of communion today. So before we start, as always, let us pray. Father, what a joy it is to be in your house, to be with your people, to be able to laugh, to be able to hear just stories and just testimonies of your goodness. Lord, it's a great lesson to know that a child who does have seizures on a regular basis can thank you for their health. And so, God, we are very thankful for the blessings that you give to us. And there's always things that we're dealing with. There are always things that are going on in our lives, whether it's physical or emotional or even spiritual. But, Lord, we always should give thanks. And so this morning we come and we say thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this time of worship. And now as we look to your word, God, we pray that you would speak into our hearts and speak into our lives, that truly these words would resonate with us and remain with us in the days to come. We don't want to worry about tomorrow, but Lord, we want to be equipped today for tomorrow. And so as we read your word, we know you're going to speak to us. May our ears be open. May our hearts be just ready to receive your truth. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friendships are supposed to be one of those things that make life worth living. And even as I say that, I would imagine there's certain people that come up in your mind as you think about the friendships that you have in your life, the people that God has placed in your life that are even almost as close as family. They know you intimately. They've experienced life with you. They've been with the ups and the downs. And so it's those people that you can trust with your life. It's those people that you can say anything to, and you know that they won't judge you. But it's what happens when your friend betrays you that is probably the most difficult, the hardest. Those that you love, those that you care about, do something that is against you or harms you or really just digs deep. See, betrayal in general is never pleasant, but always seems to hurt just a little bit more when it's a friend. And I would imagine if you're here today and you're breathing, that you've had a friend betray you. There are those people in your life that you thought you could trust them with anything, and yet now they're no longer a friend because something happened. See, being betrayed by just anyone is hard, but when you've been betrayed by someone you thought was a good friend, it changes you, doesn't it? It changes you. It puts up a wall. It puts up a guard. You no longer are that loving, caring person maybe that you were before because you're now hesitant to open up to someone because you've been hurt. It changes you. And rather than continuing, you begin to hide and you begin to be closed off and no longer be that person that people can connect with. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous place to be because God wants to use your life. And if we're that guarded, if that we're that held back, we'll never be able to invest in somebody, we'll never be able to pour into someone else's life, and we'll never let anybody in again. And so what we do in life is we try not to focus on those negative things. We try to focus on the people that God has put into your life that really make a difference to you. You know, you get to the point where you don't even want to ask for help. You want to do everything on your own. And that's, if you get into that mentality, you'll even begin to not ask God for help. And that's really where it's dangerous. See, we'll always disappoint each other, won't we? We're human. But God is good and God is great. As we sang, God will never let us down. He will always be that faithful friend. He will always be that loving God. He always knows exactly what it is you're going through. And he always knows what you feel perfectly, probably better than yourself. It's a lonely place to be when you do life on your own. And when it comes to, you know, trusting someone else or having another friend, it takes a long time. It's not like changing your pair of socks, you know. It's something you got to experience. It's something you got to, time has to pass in order to allow someone to come back in. I found a couple quotes that I wanted to share with you. I thought were pertinent to this. As we get older, we don't lose friends. We just find out who the real ones are. I see people nodding. Yeah, there's friendships that I had many, 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 many years ago that I don't have any longer because of some situation, some circumstance. Can't trust anymore. And it's only later in life who you realize who your real friends are, the ones that are always with you. And then one more. Better have an enemy who slaps you in the face than a friend who stabs you in the back. I'm trying to drive home a point that the betrayal of a friend is very difficult. And that's exactly what happens in our text today. Judas, one of the 12 apostles, the closest disciples of Jesus, we all know, betrays him. And Jesus, being God, knows all things. So that certainly would be helpful. But I'm just touched by the fact that Jesus chose him and God used it. And so I think there's a lesson for all of us when it comes from the idea of the betrayal of a friend. We all have experienced it, but I pray that we would work through it, just like Jesus does with Judas. And so let's look at that in verse 10. It says, "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them." So he was purposed to do that. "And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him," or betray Jesus. And so when it comes to the betrayal of a friend, the first thing I see in these two verses is the betrayal of a friend happens when they want something else, when they desire something greater than a continued relationship with you. Judas wanted what? He didn't want what God wanted for his life. He wanted money. He was the keeper of the treasury. And for 30 pieces of silver, I think it was, he betrayed Jesus, said he would betray Jesus. And so we can see here, Judas, he wanted something different. He didn't want to stay in intimate relationship with Christ, even though Jesus loved on him, Jesus taught him, Jesus walked with him. Judas still wanted something more. And it's in that time in our lives when we begin to want something different than what God wants. Don't you find that to be the most difficult? When you know the Lord wants something for your life, but you want something different, that's when it gets so tough in life. It's, God, why isn't it happening the way I want it? And God's going, you don't want it your way. Trust me. God, we want to have things the way God wants it. This is such a sharp contrast. I love the way Mark is written, because the verses prior to verse 10, it's Mary that's doing what? It's anointing the feet of Jesus, anointing the head of Jesus with a very fragrant oil, a very costly oil. She's showing her love and appreciation for Christ in a very beautiful way. We talked about that several weeks ago. And here, sharply contrast in verse 10, Judas is going to get to betray him. It just magnifies the fact that Judas chose the wrong path. Guys, we have to be careful that we as Christians don't choose the wrong thing because we want something else. I don't know what your desires are here this morning. I don't know what it is you're striving for. I think of younger people and their hopes and dreams for the future, what they might want for a family or for a job. But it's like, what is it you want in your life? What is it you desire? Is it along God's path? Is it something that the Lord wants to happen in your life? Let him do it. See, the Bible says very clearly that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And look at this verse. I believe Paul may have been thinking about Judas here. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Certainly this lines up with Judas. 30 pieces of silver would betray his Lord, who will soon die for him. And I think that's a great reminder for all of us. To know that your Savior sacrificed everything for you. That should center us in our lives. That should bring us from that position of getting what we want to saying, God, I want what you want because you died for me. You gave your life so that I would have life, and I want my life to have meaning. Are you here this morning and you want your life to have meaning? And you look back at maybe last week and you go, where's the meaning in it? Why did I go through those things? Why did that happen to me? Why did that person, you know, say those things to me? Again, there's all those questions. But see, we got to stay focused on what God has for us. In Judas's life, we see this dichotomy, is that the word? Between divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Because like I said earlier, Jesus chose the 12, did he not? So he chose Judas. And sometimes people look at Judas's life and go, man, what a waste. In fact, even the Bible will say here in a minute, it'd be better that that man never even was born. But here's the reality. We look at Judas as a picture, and God certainly used it to accomplish his purposes, but at any moment, Judas could have said, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And I'm telling you, the love of Christ would have drawn Judas close. He could have chosen a different path. And so for you and me here this morning, maybe in our past we've done things that were stupid. We've done things that are wrong. We've done things that we've regretted. That is not who you have to remain to be. You can get on your knees before God and say, Lord, I am sorry. But the reality is, hurt happens in life. And sometimes hurt comes from a close friend. And Judas is going to be that friend that's close to Jesus that's going to hurt him. But what I love about this story is Jesus doesn't fight him. Jesus lets it happen. How many of us in this room have fought that fight on our own? Have tried to fight that battle? Have tried to make what's wrong right? Instead of going, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to do my part. And I'm not going to force the issue. I just think it's an amazing picture. See, because according to God's plan, Jesus must die. And God happens to use Judas in Jesus' life to bring that to fulfillment. Judas chose his path, but God used it to accomplish his will. Had Judas surrendered, God would have found another way. It wouldn't have thwarted God's plan. We cannot really change God's plan. We can change the way it comes out, but God's final plan for your life is going to happen if you let it. Notice here in John says this. Now after the piece of bread, remember Jesus, we'll see that in a minute, Jesus dips the bread and then gives it to Judas. Satan entered him, which is Judas. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. This tells us Jesus knew. Jesus knew. He knew exactly the choice that Judas would make. He knows every choice that you're going to make. And he still chooses to love you. If I knew every choice that you would make, some of you I would ask to leave. Right? Wouldn't you? If you knew everything I would do in your life, you'd say, could I skip that week? Because we, thank God we don't know. But God knew. God knew. See, betrayal comes when someone wants something other than a relationship with you. Listen, it's an amazing thing. Betrayal only comes from those that are close to you. Betrayal never comes from your enemies. And interesting. Only those who are close to you. And I think about like adultery. Adultery is betrayal, right? It's betrayal of a promise that a spouse made to their spouse. When we stand before God at the wedding and we say before God, for better, for worse, you know, for richer or poorer, for sickness and health, we're going to choose to honor. Betrayal is when you choose no longer to honor. When you choose no longer to focus on your spouse and you focus on what you want. Adultery, all of those, all of the things in our lives that we choose in place of God. And I wrote this down. Judas lost his way. And we need to be careful we don't lose our way. Because none of us who love the Lord, who have the Holy Spirit in us, are above the ability to do something really stupid. None of us. He lost his way. So when, I'm so thankful that Laylene, I asked you to come up here, when she says all they do is pray, it's like, how can we not? It's a reminder to all of us, how can we not pray? If we don't pray, then we're open to losing our way. But if we continue to pray and continue to listen when we pray, then we're guided by God. When you want something more than you want God, bad things will happen. So keep your choices, keep your decisions always under the Lord's eye. And then this next thing I want us to see, look at verse 12. It says, now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, so this is probably Thursday, it's when they killed the sacrifices, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he said, and he sent out two of his disciples, that's Peter and John, another gospel tells us, sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I must eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. And his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. So the next thing I see in this idea of the betrayal of a friend is here Jesus tells two of his disciples, Peter and John, to go into the city to find a room. Interestingly enough, it would be very obvious seeing a man carrying a water pitcher. In these days, women carried water pots. Men carried the wineskins. So you would think, oh, well, it would have been very clear. It's so interesting to me that Jesus just tells them what's going to happen, and then it does happen, which is a great reminder for all of us, isn't it? Jesus knows what's going to happen to you next Wednesday. Be good for you to stay close to him, because he can tell you, and he can prepare you. But he hear the disciples say, how can we do something? Now, I underlined it in my Bible. At the end of verse 14, it says, I may eat the Passover with my disciples. Who's included in that group? Judas. Judas. The betrayal of a friend, listen to me, must never change who you really are. Jesus didn't waver. Jesus knew he was going to do it. He knew he was going to betray him. But he still wanted to include him at the Passover meal. Can you imagine how hard that must be? Can you imagine sitting at a table at dinner with your worst enemy? Think about that for a minute. Anybody inviting their worst enemy to their birthday party? No. And so Jesus stays true to himself. And we must do the very same. As I said in my opening statements, the betrayal of a friend can change you. Don't let it change you. You stay who you are. Don't let somebody else's actions dictate who you are, except to make you stronger and to make you better. Right? Jesus didn't. And he just can't miss it. The fact that the disciples, Peter and James, in fact, it says all of them, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do to prepare for the Passover? I think a very important thing to help us stay true and to help us deal with hurt, a betrayal of a friend, is to continually serve the Lord. These guys wanted to serve Jesus. In everything that you do, invite the Lord in. And I'm not saying have Bible studies all the time, unless that's what God calls you to do. But share the love of Christ, share the light of Christ at your workplace, in your school, wherever you go. Make a difference. Serving the Lord is not just something you do on Sunday mornings. We should be able to serve the Lord every single day. We serve the Lord when the things that come out of our mouth are more encouraging than discouraging. When the thoughts that go through even through our heads are held under the authority of Christ. When our actions emanate Christ. Don't let hurt change you. These people, these guys, these disciples had a heart to serve Jesus no matter what. And listen, Judas is right there with them. Right there with them. He sent them. They found it exactly what he wanted. And I wrote this down here too in verse 15. Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. Furnished and prepared. The word furnished means equipped, and the word prepared means ready. And I just find this to be very interesting. Jesus probably beforehand met with this owner and said, I want to have a room for my disciples. And so that's why it was, he knew what it was. He knew he had already prepared it. But I look at this picture that he tells the disciples that there's a place that's going to be furnished and prepared. It's going to be ready for us. I look at that in my own life. Am I furnished? Am I equipped? Am I prepared? And am I ready to be used for the Lord? Are our lives in a place and open to the guidance of God so that we're ready to serve? I've shared this story many, 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 many years ago. Early in my ministry, there was a gentleman who felt called into mission work. But he was, you know, he also mentioned that he was just burdened down with responsibilities at home. You know, he had a mortgage, he had car payments, he had all these things. He goes, I know God's calling me. And I encouraged him. I said, get yourself ready. Be prepared. Because if God called you to today, you know what you'd have to say? Sorry, I can't. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. Be prepared for God. Because sometimes I think being unprepared is our excuse to not fulfill God's purpose for our life. It's a lot easier for me to go, oh, I'd love to, Lord, but I just can't. Rather than, I'm ready, Lord, when you call me, I'm going. I would hope all of your lives, and mine included, every single day we would wake up and say, Lord, I am prepared for whatever you have for me. Whatever it is. If you want to bless me, I would like that. If you want to try me, fine. My devotion this morning was in James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you face various trials. Working on that one. But when trials come in our lives, the joy doesn't become because of the trial. It goes on to say, because the testing of our faith produces the word we don't like to say, patience. Well, we don't like to be patient. Be ready for God to use you. And listen, the enemy is probably filling all of your heads with, well, I would love to serve, but I can't because of this excuse or this problem in my life, whether it's financial, whether it's physical. God can use every single one of you if you're open and prepared and ready to be served by him, to be used by him. Let him use you. Are you equipped? Look at verse 17. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now, as he sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. See, Jesus knew. And they began to be sorrowful and say to him one by one, is it I? They didn't even know who it was. And the verse goes on and says, and another said, is it I? And honestly, I do think that that's actually Judas, personally. Some of your Bibles, if you're reading from the New King James, will say that that last sentence is not included. But in another gospel, it says Judas says to him, Lord, he calls him Rabbi. He goes, Rabbi, is it me? Now, he knew very well it was him. And I think it's a very healthy thing when God speaks into our life or somebody speaks into our lives that we take that self-evaluation. Have you ever been approached by someone who kind of challenged you in your walk, challenged you in your faith, or challenged you just in your life in general, and how hurtful that is? I mean, sometimes the truth does hurt, right? But sometimes we have to take that truth and say, Lord, is that something that's going on in my life? Lord, am I one that may betray you? Is it me? I mean, I don't know. Who knows when you're going to betray the Lord? I mean, Peter, in the next section, next week, Peter's going to adamantly say, Lord, if they all deny you, there's no way I would deny you. I'm going to die with you. Well, we know how that worked out. No, we don't know how we're going to respond. I would love to say that if someone said, deny Christ or you're going to take a bullet in the head, that I would say, put a bullet in my head. I would love to think that, but when it actually happens, would I do it? It's different, isn't it? When it actually happens, if you're not prepared for it, you don't know what will happen. The betrayal of a friend, the third thing, can be used to accomplish God's will. Jesus knew who was going to betray him. God used it to bring him to the cross. And sometimes the betrayal of a friend, God can use it in your life. So you have that self-evaluation. So you look into your heart and you go, Lord, is there something in me that I don't know about me? Do you know that God knows you better than you know you? I like to memorize this one. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. See if there's anything in me that displeases you, God. This is truly the right heart, the humble heart to come before God. Is there something in my life that I'm doing that I don't even know I'm doing, Lord? And if there is, tell me, and then lead me to get that right. I mean, it's not just to expose it. It's so that you'll change it. And so here the disciples, it must have been like a bomb as they're sitting there at the Last Supper, a Passover meal, and they're eating and they're celebrating, and all of a sudden Jesus goes, one of you around this table is going to betray me. Whoa. It must have been like a bomb went off. And then each of them are looking at each other. I'm sure Peter goes, it's definitely John. They didn't even know it was them. How could they know it was Judas? Guys, sometimes we don't know, and sometimes conflict comes from our best friends to make us better. I've seen best friends fight and get mad at each other. It even happened on the missions trip. They just got at each other's nerves, and they're best friends. And I'm like, the enemy wants to build a wedge between you two. And here's what I asked God for wisdom, because I didn't know how to deal with young teenage girls. And I was like, Lord, please. And I told both of them, I said, listen, this one hurt that one's feelings. This one didn't like what that one said. And it's like, I want you both to consider what the other one is saying. And don't just take this thing, you're wrong. We always want to say the other person is wrong. Well, what if the other person is right? What if God is using that person in your life to speak into your life? And you're going to say, no. You need to be open to that. Lord, search my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. And then show me how I can change that, God, to be better for you. God was able to use what Judas's choice, bad choice was to accomplish his will. And some of the most difficult things that's going to happen in your life and the things, difficult things that have happened in my life have produced such great fruit in my life. Because God taught us. God showed us. He revealed it to us. You know, one of the hardest things, the hardest news I got this week was a pastor friend this week sent a text out saying, please pray for my 18-year-old son. There's nobody in this room, so don't even think about it. Pray for my 18-year-old son because he's chosen to do drugs and alcohol, and he's just making some dark, dark choices. And in the text, you can just hear the brokenness of this dad. Forget the pastor. It's his son. But I also know in his heart he's longing. He knows the victory that God would give him if his son would choose to do the right thing. but he's so blinded by the enemy right now. And I share that to say sometimes, even in our best intentions, even on our best day, the enemy can blind our intentions, blind our vision to understand what the things that we are doing that are not pleasing to God. And my prayer for this son of his, as hard as it is that he'll get to the bottom of his pit, that he'll get the end of his rope, because when we're at the end of our rope, guess what? That's where God's rope starts. Because we finally let go of our rope, grab onto God, and then he begins to pull us out. If this young man chooses to make the right choices, I believe there's victory there. But the enemy's good at what he does, guys. He just has to plant a small seed into our hearts, and it begins to fester. So be careful. When it comes to the betrayal of a friend, nobody wants to do that. But let me flip that on ahead. Have you ever betrayed a friend? Let's make it personal. Have you ever done something to someone that used to be a best friend of yours and you're no longer best friends because of something you did, but you are holding your ground because you feel what you did is right? What's the right thing to do? Humble ourselves, ask God if there's some mistake that you made, and then make it right. Make it right. Judas at any time could have said, I give up. I don't want to do this. And Jesus would have said, come on. And he would have reconciled that relationship. God has the power to reconcile your worst relationship. I love that fact. I love the fact that he's able to do that. In fact, Jesus would prefer that Judas would have done that. We would have preferred that Judas would have taken that route. So we need to think about that. As we enter into communion, this very next section in our Bibles is talking about the Lord's Supper. So we're going to read from this text this morning I'm going to ask the guys to get up and get the elements. I'm going to close us in a prayer, and then we're going to partake of communion together and think about a couple other thoughts. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And though we move through it rather quickly, God, I pray that we've learned some lessons. That sometimes we make the wrong choices. Sometimes we choose our way over your way. And so, God, I would ask that you would just reveal to us maybe some of the choices that we're making today that aren't right. I pray that you would speak into those situations. I pray that you would convict our hearts and help us to make the right choices. I pray, God, that our hearts would always be sensitive to those that you place into our lives to help keep us on a path that leads to you. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be so in tune to the Holy Spirit that even the stillest, smallest voice that is whispering to us to come to you, that we would hear that voice. That we would acknowledge that voice as our Lord and Savior. That we would draw closer to that voice until that voice is crystal clear to us. Help us to forgive those, God, that have betrayed us. And help us not to be those ones that have betrayed others. I feel like in these last days, God, it's going to get so much harder to be faithful. And so I pray that we continually stay in your word and read scriptures like this that bring correction to us. And stay on our knees in prayer, asking for you to fill us, to move us. May our relationships, the family of God, the relationships there, may there be harmony and peace. And as we enter into communion today, I pray that we would remember the one who went to the cross willingly, despising the shame, has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, that we might live. Now let our lives make a difference. And we thank you for all these things. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen.